I'm Griffin Marie, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning Podcast. It's Friday, which means it's time for the week in review and preview. Today, we'll be discussing this past week's economic developments, including the Federal Reserve's policy meeting, federal stimulus negotiations, outlook for next week, and much more. Now, so joining me for this conversation today is none other than Brian Rose, CIO Senior Economist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Brian, thanks for joining us today and welcome back to Top of the Morning.
Thanks, Griffin. Good morning, everyone.
So Brian, a big piece of economic news this week was the Federal Reserve's policy meeting. The result, of course, being that a majority of Fed officials envision keeping interest rates at 0% until at least 2023. Can you speak to the significance of that decision?
So this was a really interesting, and the Fed is now reflecting its new policy framework, which says that basically because inflation has been running below target for a long time, they want inflation to run above 2%, moderately above, but above 2% for some unspecified period of time. And this really has practical implications for what the Fed expects to do. It basically means keeping rates near zero for longer. So if you look at the Fed's economic projections, and of course, they may not turn out to be right, but if you just look at what they're expecting to happen, they think the unemployment rate will be back down to 4% by the end of 2023, and also that inflation will be at the 2% target at the end of 2023. So normally, any central bank, if unemployment is as low as it's going to get and inflation is at the 2% target, you'd expect interest rates to be neutral, which in the case of the Fed is 2.5%. Right? So that the combination of low unemployment, inflation at the target should mean that you're running neutral policy around 2.5% interest rate. But instead, the Fed's saying they still expect rates to be at zero at the end of 2023. And again, this reflects the new policy, which is that just 2% inflation isn't enough. They want inflation to go somewhat above 2%. And again, that means that you wait longer until you start to raise rates.
Right, Brian. And I know afterwards, Chairman Jay Powell held a press conference. What were the big takeaways from that event?
Yeah, so it was a really interesting press conference. One thing that came up, and the Fed did not announce anything, any sort of new guidance on their quantitative easing plans. And Powell was asked about this. Why are you prepared to announce this new policy regarding inflation moving above 2%, but you're not willing to give us any guidance on QE? And he didn't really give a very good explanation. And I think the truth is that there's no consensus among FOMC members about what to do with the Fed's balance sheet. So a lot of different ideas, and there's uncertainty over the economy, uncertainty over the outlook for fiscal policy. So Fed is just not quite ready to make that decision. But we do expect them to make it soon. So I think by the end of the year, most likely at the December meeting, they'll announce something about their plans for the balance sheet. Powell also said, some interesting things about the labor market, not really new, but talking about how great the benefits were of having a very tight labor market, how it brought people into the labor force, and also it benefited to low-wage workers. This sort of matches the new policy, which is that Fed is going to keep rates at zero even if the labor market starts to get tight, unless inflation really rises a lot. And Powell was careful to say this. The Fed does not want high inflation. They just want inflation to go above 2%. But the idea is leave rates near zero, let the labor market get hot, and like we saw before, this will benefit people who on the margins of the labor force, lower paid workers, people who maybe can't find a job in a normal labor market but are able to work when labor market conditions get really tight.
Right. And just to shift gears here and look at the economy as a whole, how is it faring in terms of dealing with the ongoing fallout of COVID-19? Were there any important economic data points this week you might want to make our listeners aware of?
Yes, overall, the economy continues to recover, and really, despite the fact that we have a high level of COVID-19 cases, most of the economy is open. The government restrictions on activity are pretty minimal at this point, and that has allowed the economy to recover. Maybe two-thirds of the decline in activity has been recovered at this point, but there are some signs of slowing growth. So, for example, retail sales for August was announced this week. It was somewhat disappointing. And I think you have to keep in mind that retail sales are already above the pre-pandemic level. So, August, even though it was a bit disappointing, it was a record high in retail sales. So it's, hard to just keep growing at the recent pace to see all this very strong data coming in because, again, the recovery has made progress. So there isn't it isn't as easy to keep growing at that pace. We also saw continued good news on housing. The NAHB survey of home builders hit a record high. So you have low mortgage rates, and just the fact that, because of the pandemic, more people are working from home. Some of these arrangements will be permanent, and people, and if you're going to spend more time at home, it would be nice to have a, nicer house to do that in. So you see, really strong demand for housing. We did have building permits, housing starts down a little bit in August, but it's clear that current environment is very supportive of the housing market. And finally, we had manufacturing output up 1% month on month in August, and I read to some people pretty pessimistic on manufacturing, but I think we will see output continuing to rise. Again, we're seeing good demand for goods, especially durable goods demand, is quite robust, and I think manufacturing output will rise to meet that demand.
Yeah, so certainly some positive developments there. And we also got some news on additional federal fiscal support this week. What's your assessment of the importance of such legislation?
So, in my view, this is really critical for the outlook. And the fact that Congress wasn't able to pass another fiscal package is going to have consequences for the economy. I think we will see a soft patch coming up. So again, things have been going well up until now, but some of that strength is because we pumped so much money into the economy in a very short period of time. And without, additional measures from Congress, that support will fade, and you'll see some consequences in the economy. Just to give one example from this week, you had the airline executives at the White House basically saying we're going to lay off 40,000 of our workers on October 1st unless there's more money from the federal government. And given what's happened this week, it seems that money isn't coming. So, airlines still seeing passengers down around 70% from the pre-pandemic levels. They can't afford to hold on to all their workers. And same thing at state and local governments. So, New York City says they're going to lay off 22,000 workers on October 1st because they've taken a huge financial hit due to the pandemic, and they have to cut their budget. There's, they can't borrow the money. They need to make cuts. So, we saw just in the last couple of days some talk. There was this bipartisan proposal of $1.5 trillion dollars. And that was rejected, though, from both sides. This proposal was not from the leadership in Congress. These were mostly junior, members. And President Trump spoke in favor of it, but it seems Republicans in the Senate and Democrats in the House are not willing to accept that compromise. So, even though there was some news We think in the end it seems unlikely that that they will pass additional legislation ahead of the election.
Well, Brian, lastly, just as a wrap-up question here, what can investors look forward to next week?
So next week, yeah, again, just regarding the fiscal deal, I think the sense is if it doesn't happen next week, if we make it through next week and there's still no deal, that's probably it. There's probably no deal until after the election. And then in terms of the data, it's not a very busy week. We do get durable goods orders, which is an important measure of business investment. It's very difficult to track investment at the moment, but we have seen already some improvement in durable goods orders. And we expect, because demand has recovered, that businesses will start to invest again. We also get some more housing data and new and existing home sales. And again, this has been a surprising area of strength in the economy. So interesting to, keep watching to see how this data comes in, just how much, housing we're likely to build going forward. This is not a huge part of the economy, but it is quite a positive sign.
Okay, Brian, thanks for sharing your insights. Terrific as always. Appreciate you joining, and we will be hoping to hear from you on Top of the Morning again soon.
Thanks very much.
And there are many blogs and publications available from the Chief Investment Office on UBS Online Services. Please reach out to your financial advisor to get a copy directly if you are a UBS client. That's all for now, folks. So from New York, I'm Griffin Marie. And have a great day.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.